myself to teach you something that I normally wouldn't say in front of maybe a packed house. Megillat Esther. So the Megillah we read tomorrow night, and we read it on Thursday morning. Of course, there's Berachot on the Megillah. There's a big machloket between the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim on this. We only make the Shehiyanu at night. Ashkenazim make Shehiyanu in the morning as well. It's a big discussion. How could you make Shehiyanu twice? It's based on a Tosafot. Much has been said to try to explain the custom of the Ashkenazim to make two Shehiyanus. But our custom is understood. We make Shehiyanu at night. Besides the other two Berachot, which is Al Mikra Megillah, as well as Sha'asan Yisim Lavotenu. Which is also a question which we won't go into, but it's interesting that Purim gets a Sha'asan Yisim and Pesach doesn't. I would have assumed that if any holiday should get a Sha'asan Yisim, it's Pesach. There are more miracles that happen in that story of Pesach than any other holiday. The Purim gets the Sha'asan Yisim and Pesach doesn't. Okay. For another time, these are just thoughts that we think about when it comes to the holiday. Now, after the Megillah, there's a Beracha. There's a Beracha Harona. And that's the Beracha that I want to discuss tonight. The Beracha, the highlights of it, is Hana et Ribenu. Mehadan et Dinenu. Noken et Nikmatenu. Something very interesting about it, if you noticed it already. It's got five parts to it. I'm not explaining the Beracha. Basically, it's God is fighting our fights. He judges our enemies, our judgments. He takes a revenge. He pays them retribution. Maybe it sounds a little redundant. Obviously, each line has something else. But Rabbeinu Ari saw in this beracha something very, very fascinating. And that is that each line over here ends with a nu. And Sadeh. This excited Rabbeinu Ari in Shaar HaKavanot. When he saw the five nu's in his Dirush on Purim, he starts off with this. This is how the Dirush of Purim begins. Trying to explain the Beracha Harona, what's the sod behind the five nu's in the Beracha Harona of Megillat Esther. There's somewhere else Rabbeinu Ari talks about this, by the way, and that's his Drush on Motzei Shabbat. There he talks about another Pasuk, which I'm sure you heard. That's the Pasuk of Vihi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu Uma'aseh Yadenu Kolena Alenu מעשה ידינו כוננים.
You familiar with that pasuk, boys? We know it. We say it before every mitzvah. So the Ben Marizal says, oh, look what you got here.
Elokeinu, Aleinu, Yadeinu, Aleinu, Yadeinu.
Five blues again. So in two places, the Ben Ari finds this concept of the five news. You see it in the Vinoam?
Vinoam Hashem Elokim, Aleinu, Ma'asei Yadeinu, Korana Aleinu, Ma'asei Yadeinu, Koranehu.
And he has the same symmetry, this Beracha.
Dinenu, Dinenu, Nikotenu, Mashenu, and Mitzarenu.
What is the sod? What is the secret? So he goes on to explain like this. You must have heard that in our alphabet we have regular letters, 22 letters, and then we have five letters that are called the Sofiyot. The Gemara Megillah actually, right in the beginning, talks about these Sofiyot. Very good. Mansapach, the Gemara calls it. The Gemara there says, if you remember, Matzapach Sofim Amarum. This was said by the Tzofim, by the prophets.
Matzapach. And the Gemara said, it was said by the prophets. The prophets cannot make up any new laws. So the Gemara said, no, no, no. Shachum v'hazrum v'yazdum. They forgot them. They said, what do you mean they forgot them? So it's no, they forgot where to put them. They go in the middle of the letter, word, or they go to the end of the word, so they reminded us, and which is a whole sugya in itself, Rabotai, how is it possible that they could forget where the Sofiyot went? Shteka Sefer Torah. Well, they had no Sefer Torah, you tell me. They had no books, they had no nothing. They were in Guam. Where were they? There was no. Fine. However, you learned this Gemara, Shachum v'Hazum, they forgot, you put these Sofiyot letters in the middle, or you put them, then they reminded us, oh, Rabotai. It's Sofiyot. And this is the letters called Man Safach. Now, of course, Tosfot has a question. Tosfot's question is, hey, where did you get this order from? It should be, if we're going to go alphabetically, it should be Kamina Pits. Not right? This would be the order. That's Tosfot's question. Kamina Pits. Tosfot says, well, Man Safach is Min Sofim. So it's like a Lashon Nofel al Lashon. Sofim Amarum. Man Safach, Sofim Amarum. So therefore, it's Min Safach from the Nevi'im. So it's they chose it to write it this way because it falls on the Lashon of the Gemara, Min Sofim. Okay, that's Tosfot's answer. But if you wanted to write it alphabetically, it would be this. So again, there's 27 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, it's very important that you remember that, because you're going to hear many hadushim. People are going to tell you that in the word emet, for example, I think we've discussed this. In the word emet, they say aleph is the first letter of the alphabet, taf is the last letter of the alphabet, and mem is the middle. Now, if there's 22 letters in the alphabet, how could mem be the middle? What's the middle of 22? Well, you have 10 letters on one side and you have 10 letters on the other side. So you have two letters in the middle. How do you have a middle of 22? However, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, when they say that Mem is the middle letter of the alphabet, it's referring to when you're counting Sofiyot. So therefore you have 27 letters. So therefore you have 13 over here, and you have 13 over here, and then you have the 14th letter, which is the middle letter, which would be a Mem. When you would write the alphabet like this, Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet Vav Zayin Chaf Tet Yud Chaf Chaf Sofit Lamed Mem Mem Sofit, you'd put the Sofiyot right there. So then Mem is exactly the middle letter of the alphabet. That's what it means. Mem is the middle, using Sofiyot. Now, the Baal Megaleh Amukot says we have two alphabets. We have the 22 letter alphabet and we have the 27 letter alphabet. Sometimes we refer to it 22. For example, when we would say Nagila v'nismehabach, so the Midrash says on Simchat Torah, Nagila v'nismehabach,
It says Bach uptoratach, that we're going to rejoice in you and your Torah. So the Mefarshim say, where did the Midrash see the word Bach? That Bach is betoratach, because Bach is 22 bet chav. So Bach uptoratach, and the 22 letters that the Torah is written in. And then they see another remez to this on the pasuk that says v'hayu ha'devanim ha'ele asher anochim esavecha v'hayu. So they say v'hayu, well, how much is v'hayu? V'hayu is 15 plus 12, and v'hayu is 27. So v'hayu ha'devanim ha'ele is referring to the 27 letters of the alphabet. So there's different ways of configuring the alphabet. Either it's the 22 or it's the 27, and it's based on this. Another point, you know that all letters have gematrias, correct? And the letters go up to Taf, that's the last letter of that, which is 400. Chav Sofit would be the next letter, because we go Kamen HaPetz. Chav Sofit would be 500. Mem Sofit would be 600. Nun Sofit would be 700. Pes Sofit is 800. And Sadi Sofit is 900. So we have, these are also gematria. Now, what's after Tzadi Sofit? That's the 27th letter of the alphabet. What comes after that? What's the next letter? No, that's the last letter.
Aleph.
Well, that's why Aleph is called Aleph, because Aleph can also be read Aleph, because the next letter after 900 is the Aleph, which can be one or can be Aleph when you're doing it that way. So the Aleph can go either as one or as a thousand, based on if you count it the first letter or the 28th letter, meaning you went around again. Okay, fine. Now I will tell you a Hiddush. You are familiar with the four Shemot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shem Ab Sag Ma Bin? No? You're not familiar? Okay, it's time to get familiar. It's time to, the blackboard is very big, but it's not big enough. Rabotai, pay attention to this board over here. You know there's the Shem Havaya Yudke Vavke, correct? The Zohar HaKadosh says there's four ways to write the Shem Yudke Vavke. I can write it in called Shem Ab. I can make it Sag. I can make it Ma. Or I can make it Bin. Absag Ma Bin. Follow? How would I make it Shem Ab? If I write the name of Hashem, well, Bibilui, Yudvav Dalet. Okay? Now let's say I spell He with the Yud. Vav, Yud, Vav. And here I don't want to spell the whole Shem over here. He with the Yud. This would equal 72. Then this is 20. This is 15. This is 10 and 12 is 2, and this is 15. If you add all these numbers up, 20 plus 15 plus 22 plus 15, yeah, equals 72. 72. So basically, the way you write the Shem Av is with Yuds. He Yud, Vav Yud Vav, and He Yud. That's the secret of, I'll put it next to you so you remember, this is with Yuds. Sags also are with Yuds. You just change the Vav Yud Av, instead of Vav Yud Vav, it's Vav Aleph Vav. So you're minus 9. 72 minus 9 will get you to 63. So the only change in the Shem Sag is in the Vav, you went from Vav Yud Vav to Vav Aleph Vav. Understand? It's the Milui. Instead of the Milui doing Vav Yud Vav, in the Shem Sag you do Vav Aleph Vav. So, well, you're minus 9. So 72 minus 9 will be 63. Everything else stays the same. Yud Vav Dal, He Yud, He Yud.
And
the next one, Mem He, which is the Shem Ma, would be spelled with Alephs.
Okay, Aleph.
So you'd spell it He Aleph, and Vav Aleph Vav. So Yud would be 20, He Aleph would be 6, this would be 13, and then you'd have He Aleph again, which would be 6. 20 plus 6 plus 13 plus 6 would be 45. This is doing with Alephs. And then you're doing it with His. So instead of He Aleph, you do He He, Vav Vav, He He. So this would be 20, and then Yud Vav Dal stays the same in all the four names. So this would be 20, this would be 10, this would be 12, and this would be 10. So you have 52. You get a good time?
we have small groups, I'll go and explain to you the depth of the four Shemot. But I just want to make one point for you. So you got it? Abzag Maben?
Yeah.
Got it, boys? A question was asked. Ab is 72, right? You put Ayin before the Bet. Sag is 63, you put the Samech before the Gimel. Ma, you put the Mem before the Her. Why don't we call the Shem, Shem Nab? Why do they call it Shem Ben? If you want to keep everything symmetrical, shouldn't this be called Shem Nab? Understand the question, boys? And the answer, they say, is quite incredible. Do you know that the word Emet, how much is Emet equal, boys?
441,
right? That's called the Mispar Gadol. What's the Mispar Katan of Emet?
Nine.
Mispar Katan, you just count that number, 4 plus 4 plus 1. That's 9. So 9 is a magical number, obviously, 9 is the number of Emet. Now, all these names of Hashem are numbers of the true name of Hashem. So, therefore, Ayin Bet is 7 and 2. How much is 7 and 2?
9.
Samech Gima is 6. 63, 6 plus 3?
9.
Mem Hei is 45. How much is 45?
9.
Well, if you do Nun Bet, how much is Nun Bet can equal?
7.
Doesn't work. But if you do Ben, what did I tell you Nun Sofit is here, boys? Nun Sofit is 700. So Ben is actually 702. 702 is how much?
9.
So that's why we call it Shem Ben. Because we want to get it equal. You going too fast, you boys? You get it. You'll always hear Ben Ish Chai will bring it down and Ben Yoyada. Shem Ben, Shem Ben. Shem Nab. Okay, so that's the secret of that. Now you know some of the numerics, how these Mansa Paks have come out of Pittsburgh.
How'd you get 7 over there?
I get somewhere around
700.
Nun is 700. Nun Sofit is 700. So that's why by putting it Ben becomes a Nun Sofit.
Right.
So Ben is 702. 702 is 9. You want to get it to magic number 9. Okay, fine. Now, back to the Mansa Paks, or the Kamena Petsa, whatever you want to call it. Don't ask me why. I can explain you why, I think. You know that there's dinim in the world, there's judgments. And there's hasadim. Of course, we want to stay clear of the dinim and we want to stay close to the hasadim. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that the source of all the dinim, I shouldn't say all the dinim, but the source of many of the dinim that come down to the world are rooted in these five letters, Mansafah. So although we thought these letters are great letters, we love them, but now we realize these are the shortest of all the dinim. The Mem, the Nun Sofit, the Sadez, the Bezim Chav Sofit. Shortest kol dinim. Why would a Mem Sofit or any Sofit letter represent din? Very good. Because a word is able to go on and on and on and on, is unlimited, is not restricted. Once you put a Sofit letter, you've now confined the word. That's already a tzimtzum, that's already a din. Din represents constriction, or restriction, or confinement. Until you put a Sofit letter, the word is able to go on, forever. The Sofit letter ends it. Correct. But the concept of Sofit letters is restriction. That's the point of it. You're right, not every word has a, absolutely not. But the point that we were saying is that the letters themselves represent confinement. And whenever there's confinement, there's deen. I once saw a big hadush that, I thought it was a hadush to me. I don't know, we have a custom that when somebody moves into a new home, we make a chinuch habayim. We read Mishnayot. Mishnayot Berachot, Mishnayot Betzah, and Mishnayot Tamid. Betzah is called Mitzchek Yom Tov. So Berachot Yom Tov Tamid is Hashem Yom Bayit. That's why we read those three Mishnayot. Berachot Yom Tov Tamid. And we're saying to the host that they should have Berachot and Yom Tov Tamid. Always Berachot and Yom Tov. Anyway, why do we do that? So I saw brought down in one of the Sefarim
is because whenever somebody builds a house, automatically he's aroused judgment. Why? Because before he built the home, it was open air. Now he put walls. So he constricted, he blocked. Where the open space had no, it was endless, was clear, now we put all of a sudden confinements. So to break those judgments that are created by the walls, so then we need to read the Mishnayot. Okay, it's a little deep interpretation. Anyway.
Very deep.
Yeah. Anyway, these are the shortest of all the dinim. Maybe you remember the Zohar HaKadosh says that how many dinim are there? The Zohar HaKadosh talks about the 280 judgments. Resh Pe Dinim, 280 judgments. 280 judgments. And the Zohar HaKadosh says how? Because the Zohar HaKadosh learns over here, there's two ways to do this gematria. Let's do simple. Men is 40. Nun is what?
50.
Tzadi is 90. Pe is what? 80. And this is 20. So altogether this equals 280. So the Zohar HaKadosh refers to this as the Par Dinim. The 280 judgments that come from these five Otiyot. Par Dinim. I'll tell you something else. The whole goal is always to get rid of the Par Dinim. So all we're trying to do is get rid of these Par Dinim. The Resh Pe Dinim. One of the ways that Benu Ari says is every morning we say in the beginning of our prayers, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vayet. Does anybody know where that pasuk is in the Tanakh?
It's not a pasuk.
Very good. It's very good. It's not a pasuk. It's a trick question. You didn't fall for the trick. There's no pasuk like that. Although you say, what do you mean it's no pasuk? That's the famous pasuk. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vayet. No, they took Hashem Melech from one, then they snippeted it Hashem Malach from somewhere else, and they found Hashem Yimloch. They took all the three together and they made a song out of it. Yeah. So what is the secret of it? Why? So Rabbi Nuari says, by saying that pasuk, you're able to break the 280 judgments. Why? What's the numerical value of Melech? Mem Lamed Chapos.
90.
So that's connected to Mem and the Nun. That's 90. How much is Malach?
Malach.
90. That's connected to Tzadi. And Yimloch is 100. That's connected to Pach. So therefore, by saying Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, you're breaking the Par Dinim. So Melech, Malach, Yimloch equals to 80.
Yes.
That's going to get the part. This is Melech, Malach, Yimloch. Okay, so there's different ways to do it. There's another way we do it, by the way. On Hoshana Rabbah, you probably remember that after we stay up all night, we take five Arabot. And if you looked in the Smachzor, it says that we're taking these five Arabot that correspond to five Otiyot Matzapach. And what are we doing then? What are we banging these Arabot? Because these are the Dini. It means after a whole month of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Aserim et Teshuvah and Yom Kippur and 7 days of Sukkot, now we're finally going on the offense. Now we're finally able to take the judgments and we're able to break them. So what do we take as judgments? We take the Aravot. So Aravot represents the Rishayim, which is the Dinim, and therefore we bang it on the ground. We're giving the judgments a beating, so to speak, and therefore they have become Nichnah, become subjugated. So that's an example where in our religion, even though you're not a mikubal, but everybody makes Hibut Arabah. And the root of Hibut Arabah is connected to five Otiyot Matzapach, and there's nothing to talk. Now, just as a side point, boys, this is what I'm telling you as a side point. Somebody once asked, in this order, leave Tosafot's answer. Tosafot said Manzapach is because Min Sofim. Yes? Now, Mem and Nun, I understand why you're putting them together, because Mem goes first and Nun. Even Saf, these two letters are next to each other in the alphabet. But the Chaf is, it's separate. There's no, it's like a random, Why is the chav separate? So they say, because a person's left hand is connected to five judgments. The right hand is connected to five mercy, correct? Now, when you open your hand, what do we call this voice? Kaf. Ah, very good. It's kaf yad. Now, if these are the four otiyot, mem nun tzadi peh, one of the letters is the thumb is connected to kaf, which is separate from the other ones. Mm. So therefore, it's following the construction of a hand. These are the four otiyot. And the chaf yad is when you open your hand. They're calling it like this. When you open your hand this way, because you have to release the thumb, but the thumb is, so this construction, what they call the opposable thumb and the separation of the four fingers, is connected manzapach. It's the manatzaf, and chaf. Okay, that's just a hint. Now we go backwards. So says Rabbeinu Ari, that we kind of break these judgments. We got to break these judgments. Should I tell you where else you see the judgments? I'll tell you where else you see the judgments.
Why is it separated?
No, they're just giving you an image because it's connected to the hand. The hand is also separated. Why is the thumb separated? Now watch. I'll show you in certain areas where you see the inyan of the judgments of the Pardini. On Rosh Hashanah, for example. What do we blow? Shofar. Rabbeinu Ari says the par of the shofar is going to get the Pardini, which is we're trying to get the dinim away from us. If somebody became Tameh, he has to matmet. He cannot bring any korban, he cannot do anything because he's tameh. So the only thing he can purify himself is how? Paraduma. So the holy book said that that's the secret of paraduma. It's par. It's referring to the 280 judgments that come from the 5 otiyot bansapach. So therefore we're trying to, we take this to get the judgments off. But there's many the mazim of this part you'll see in the religion. So Rabbeinu Ari says like this. He says, after you read the Megillah, there's a tremendous hit'orerut of the 280 judgments. But he says now there's an ability, only after reading the Megillah, that we can take these 280 judgments and we can throw them on the Goyim. It's an etratzon. Now, I'm sure you follow the news. We have a lot of enemies. There's a lot of crazy people in the world, Rabotai. Haman being, of course, the main enemy of the Purim, but there's many Hamanim that come after. Lebenei Banav Shel Haman. And therefore, after Megillat Esther, Rabbeinu Ari says, when you say this beracha, it has a tremendous ability to take the pardinim and bring them to the enemies of Am Yisrael, which we want. That's the goal. Now, 280 divided by 5 is how much?
56.
It's 56. How much is new? It's 56. So we have 5 news. The 5 news, he says, is connected to par. And if he says, the first nu is connected to the men, and the second is the nu, and the third is the pen, the chav. So therefore, if you hear the Mekubalim when they say the Beracha Harona, those news over there are the key of the Beracha. It's the 5 news that equal 280, and we're pushing the Pardinim to the Goyim. That explains also, he says, why on Motzei Shabbat, when we're starting a new week after we came out of Kiddushat Shabbat, we're coming out of Olam Haba. So therefore, there's a tremendous koach on Motzei Shabbat as well. When we start the new week, Shavua Tov, that we don't want the dinim to come on us during that. So right away, we try to push the dinim away. So therefore, we say on Motzei Shabbat, right after Arbit, what's the first thing we say after the Amidah? Ve'inoam, where am I? Ve'inoam Hashem Elokeinu, Aleinu, Yadenu, Aleinu, and Yadenu. 4, 5 moves again on Motzei Shabbat. Now, yes.
You can't believe it. it's amazing that there's so much. This was one day, we'll give you the secret of Eid Noah, but for now, I will tell you this is the most underrated pasuk in the whole Siddur. If the people would only know the value of this pasuk on Matzei Shabbat specifically. The Rebbeinu Ari has this many pages just explain the kavanot of Eid Noah on Matzei Shabbat.
By Shuvah, right?
By Shuvah, exactly. But now you understand, at least so the five news here are like the five news here. This is just a weekly item, and this is a yearly item that we do on putting. So the Beracha Harana Botai tomorrow night, don't fool around with the Beracha Harana. By then already, they read the whole Megillah, you're fasting. And you want to eat, and you're rolling up your Megillah. Now the Chazan's saying, who cares? But now you realize that Beracha is a momentous moment there. Especially in our generation, where we want to put the pardinim on them. Now that you got that, I'll tell you what it says in Sfarim Kedoshim. Sfarim Kedoshim say, there was a great rabbi called Rabbi Shimshon Mastropoli. You heard of him?
No.
Okay, he was a big mikubah. Mishum Shon Masropoli. He quotes a midrash. I just took a copy of the midrash here before I came. He says that the otiyot mansapach, although they're judgments, but all judgments can be sweetened, like we do it with the shofar, to Paraduma, to Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yumloch, to the Speracha, to the Vehi Noam. So there's a way to sweeten the judgments. So he says from Midrash that the five letters represent all redemptions. That means once these letters are going to be sweetened, judgment's going to turn into mercy. It's like I was said, if you have a cup of coffee, the coffee is bitter, and I have sugar, sugar is sweet. The goal is not to keep the coffee bitter. Take the sugar, put it in the coffee, now we have sweet coffee. The goal is always to sweeten the judgments. I've given you tonight ways to sweeten the judgments. Hibut Araba sweetens the judgments. Shofar, all of what I just told you. And then all of a sudden those letters become letters of redemption. So he says as an example, all the Avot, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, all received redemptions from one of these letters. Abraham's career begins, boys, with what words does God tell Abraham Avinu? Lech Lecha. Oh, that's the Chav. Chav Sofit. Avinu is connected to the Chav. Yitzhak Avinu is in Pidishtim. What does the king of Pidishtim say? Lech me'imanu ki atzamta mimenu. It says Lech me'imanu, and the Pasuk says, Yatsamta, you become great. So therefore the letter of Yitzhak Avinu's redemption was in the Mem, in the Midrash writes. Yaakov, what does it say when he was fighting Esav? Atzileni Na. So therefore he's the Nun. The Shibatim were in Egypt. What does it say by Egypt? Makod Yifkod Elokim. So therefore they are the Peh. Interesting, it's also in order, by the way. It's in order. So what are we waiting for? What's the letter that we're waiting for? The Tzaddik. That's Mashiach. That's why they call the Mashiach Tzaddik. Yisod Olam, Yisbah Tzaddik. Because his connected Tzaddik. So Rav Shemitra Mastropli quotes a Pasuk in the Navi. The Pasuk says, what should I erase? Everything is so important. The pasuk says like this: Mekenaf haaretz, Mekenaf haaretz, Zemirot Shama'anu, Tzvi LaTzadik. What does it mean? Simply, from the corners of the earth. This is the moment Mashiach's going to come.
from the corners of the earth. The Kenafa Haaretz. Zemirot Shamanu, we heard the songs. Tzvi LaTzadik, we're anticipating the coming of the Tzadik was Mashiach. It's a pasuk in the Nevi'im. Listen to the way he learns it. Mekenaf is what letters? Mem, Chaf, Nun, Pe. That's referring to the letters over here that we got already. Those are the letters that we were redeemed with already. So he says, Mekenaf Ha'ares Zemirot Shamanu. We heard those letters already. Those letters already were the letters of redemption, the letters of Mekenaf. Those letters already we heard from Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, and the Shematim. However, what are we waiting for? Tzvi LaTzadik. We're waiting for the Tzadik. That's the letter that we're missing over here.
Who said it?
Rav Shimshon Masropoli. He says, Tzvi, what's the letter that we need? It is the Tzadik. The Tzadik we're missing. And Rabbeinu Ari said something incredible. He said, actually, this is not Rabbeinu Ari's help. This is what Moshe Wolfson says. He says, if you take the word Tzvi LaTzadik, we're anticipating the Tzadik, we're anticipating the redemption. Well, how much is Tzvi equal, Moshe? I didn't do this, man. I'm doing this now, live TV. How much is Tzvi?
102.
Tzvi is how much?
102.
102? Okay, you're right. And what is LaTzadik? Well, this is 30 and 90. So that's 120. 120, and this is 10.
234.
234. So it equals altogether
6, 336.
So he says that Tzvi LaTzadik, that's the Nyan of Purim. Because Purim, we're already the Geulah. Purim already, once already, we talk about the Geulah that we had in the times of Ahasuerus Parasu Badai. And we said, so we're me'orer a tremendous Geulah. So Purim is the Inyan of Tzvi LaTzadik. So he says, if you take the word Purim, I don't know, boys, help me out. How much is Purim? Pairs 80? 86? 286? 296? 336?
Yes.
Works? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So Purim is Gematria Tzvi LaTzadik.
Wow.
Which is hinting to us that there's already a Geulah. The Tzvi LaTzadik. Now, something also that they say, and that's why, by the way, it's just Derech Agav. Always after Purim, we read Parashat Parah. Because now already the judgments are sweet. The Par Dinim, or Parah Aduma, the Par in there. So after Purim, already you can read Parah Aduma. That's already reading the judgments, and therefore it turns into Parah. Anyway, the Par turns into Parah. Now, anybody have a Tehillim book here, boys? Okay, I got my answer. There's a chapter in Tehillim. It's called Tefillah LeMoshe. You probably have it on Lech Techa B'Derech. You have it on your apps. Oh, you have it? It's probably in the back here. Okay. Shara Gigulin. That's my job. Okay, boys. Here it is. Tefillah LeMoshe. Chapter 90. Tefillah LeMoshe. In this chapter over here, towards the end, we're saying to Borei Olam, Sabe'enu Boker Hastecha, this is saying, bring us the Mashiach already. We suffered for so many years. Bring us joy against all the years that we suffered. The galut is a long galut. So we say, Samehenu kimot initanu, shenot ra'inu ra'a. No coincidence that David HaMelech puts this chapter that talks about the coming of Mashiach in what chapter? Tzadik. Ah, because Tzvi LaTzadik. So therefore in chapter Tzadik, there's a rem is already to the Inyan of the Mashiach. And no coincidence that since the coming of the Mashiach has to happen only after the Par Dinim are sweetened, look at this chapter, how it ends. Sameinu kimot initanu. יראה אל עבדיך, פעוליך, והדרכה על ביניהם, והיא נועם אדוני אלוהינו עלינו, ומעשה ידינו קורנה עלינו, ומעשה ידינו קורנהו. To David HaMelech, in that chapter, puts the famous pasuk of the Vinoam, because that's where the tikkun is going to be at the time of the fixing of the pardinim. So far, so good, boys.
Wow, we've said a lot. Now we need to say something else.
So that's anyway the secret of Purim. The secret of Purim has this inyan. And it's something else. Originally I asked you, why is there no Sha'asa Nisim on Pesach? And there is a Sha'asa Nisim on Purim. You must know, boys, that there's a big difference between the two miracles of Purim and Pesach. Whereas Pesach is open miracles, Purim is Nes Nestar. I'm not going to remember that whole Torah. You know that whole Torah already. Whereas in Pesach, everything that happened was revelation. The splitting of the sea is God in front of you. It's undeniable. The Jewish people that stood at Yam Suf, they pointed and they said, Zeh Eli Vanveh. Whereas the story of Purim is God behind the curtain. There's nothing supernatural in the story of Purim. That's right. Anuchi Esther Astir. Exactly. It said Behestir. Of course, the goal is to reveal that God is even Behestir. That's why we call it Megillat Esther. Megillah means Legalot, to reveal. Megillat Esther, to reveal the Esther. Just as a simple example, Haman walks into the palace exactly on cue. The king says, you know, Man na'asan Mordechai alzeh. And all of a sudden, mi behaser. The al-sheikh makes an unbelievable point here. Let's say Haman gets to the haser 1 second prior. He would hear Ahasuerus say, Man na'asan Mordechai. So he would know they're talking about Mordechai. So right after Ahasuerus says, Man na'asan Mordechai, which Haman didn't hear that, he didn't pick that up, right after mi behaser. So that's already a nanosecond. I mean, that's already, if you were making a Broadway show and you needed to get Haman to walk in on his cue, you would need a choreographer, a director, and 5 aides to tell him, I'm going now. Because it has to be so perfect for this to work. So the Emunah teaches us that God is the choreographer of this whole story, and therefore he brings the footsteps of Haman exactly at the right moment. So he doesn't hear the word Mordechai, so he thinks it's him. So therefore he says, oh, man, asag. He thinks it's him. Therefore he says all the things that he said. And the story continues. So that's already when you see, now again, show that story to somebody from Harvard, a scientist, they'll tell you, yeah, it's coincidence. Mm. You know, it happens. Things like that happen. It's coincidence. Of course we say, no, that's the hand of God moving the vampire. That's the Hester that's being revealed. Now, boys, you must know also, Hashem has his holy name Yudke Vavke. The Zohar HaKadosh writes that Yudke Vavke always is the name of God of revelation. But we don't read it Yudke Vavke. Actually, we read it Aleph, Dalet, and Nun and Yud. Why? Because Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, boys, represents judgments. Represents Teva. That's why if you look at the
it's the same letters as Dina. Dina is Dini.
which means I'll say it better. Those that subscribe just things to nature clearly are under the judgment. Because the word Hateva equals 86 and the name Elohim equals 86. Elohim is judgment also. So anybody that subscribes something to nature right away is putting themselves under a judgment. Be very careful. A person comes along and gives credit to a doctor, for example. So you're giving credit to the Teva. Adlaba, you're giving credit to the Teva, it arouses the judgments. So the Zohar HaKadosh writes that whereas Yudke Vavke represents revelation, the Adanut represents concealment. That's the teva. That's the dinim. In this generation, clearly we don't have open miracles. Olam kimen hagovalich. Borei Olam, like the Ramban says many times, loves the teva. The teva is the way Hashem wants the world to. So therefore, when we say Hashem's name, how do we say Hashem's name? We have to say be'adanut, but we have to mechaven the yud kevavke. We have to see the yud kevavke in the adanut. That's the whole secret of those two names. You cannot say Yeho because we don't have open miracles. So we have to say when we're under the guise, when we're in their costume, it's a costume. Adanut is a costume. What is it covering up the yud kevavke? So when we say Adanut, you have to mechaven the yud kevavke. That means I'm able to pierce through the Adanut and see Hashem behind everything. That's right, they have it both.
Yeah.
And that's the Kavanah. You understand the Kavanah, boys? By the way, that's why we wear masks on Purim. Did you know that? Right? The mask on Purim is to represent that. That nobody thinks that it's the mask. They know there's somebody behind the mask. Here the mask is Adanut. What's behind the mask? Yud Kev Vav Kev. That's the representation of that. Now comes the great Rabbi Rav Shimshon Maslow on Purim. And he says, on the first Mishnah in Masechet Megillah, you know the first Mishnah, Megillah Nikret. What's the Mishnah, boys?
Beyud
Aleph, Beyud Bet, Beyud Gimel, Beyud Dalet, Betetvav, LePachol VeLoYot. Megillah is read on 5 days. There's 5 basic days you can read the Megillah. Well, 14th is for Ayarot, right? Where Ayarot. 15 would be walled cities or Shushan, walled cities in the times of Yeshua. Those are the main days. That's why it says in the Pasuk when Moshe Rabbeinu fought Amalek, Ki Yad al Kes Ya. Yad is your Dalet and Ya is your Bet. Those are the 2 days of Purim. Ki Yad al Kes Ya. And then there's 3 other days, there's 11, 12, 13, which are the villages. Achamim were lenient on the villages. They can come into Yom HaKinisa on the previous Monday or Thursday to Purim. So this year, let's say Purim is on the Thursday, so there's no kula for kefarim. Thursday. But let's say if Purim was on a Friday, they can come in the day before and read it on Thursday. And if Purim was on a Sunday, they can come the previous Thursday. So that's where we get the days 11, 12, and 13. Says again of Shimshon Matzro Purim. How much is Adanut, boys? How much is it equal? Aleph, Dalet, and Nun-Yud. Not so hard. Dalet and Aleph is 5 and Nun-Yud is 60. So basically you do 5 plus 60, it comes out to 60. And how much is Yud-Kev Avke?
21.
No, without confusion. Yud-Kev Avke is 26. As you know. Okay, those numbers don't mean anything to you. Now, Megillat Esther, is it Adanut or is it Yud Kev Vav Kev?
Adanut?
Has to be Adanut. There's no revelation in Yitzhak Mitzrayim is Yud Kev Vav Kev. There's no miracles in Purim. It's a normal story. A king gets angry at his wife. People get angry at their wife. He kills his wife. Sometimes. And then somebody wants to assassinate the king. It's a normal story. It's a... Which means, I'll say it better, when they made the movie The Ten Commandments, Lavdil of course, they needed a lot of special effects. Because it's all miracles. When they make the movie of Megillat Esther, there's no special effects. Zero. You don't need special effects. It's a story. Nothing.
Breaking our scepter?
Nothing is supernatural.
Stretching our scepter, stretching out.
Yeah, but that's not in the Megillah itself. That's not in the Megillah itself. Kiryat Yamsuf is in the Torah. Doesn't tell me anything about a scepter stretching all out. That's already, you're going into the Midrashim. Yeah, those are separate miracles which were not essential to the miracle of Purim anyway. Whether the scepter stretched or not, Purim would have happened. But the sea doesn't split, Pesach doesn't happen. So those are non-essential. But listen to my point. So Purim is Adanut. Says of Shijo Masropoli, Megillah Nekret. You read the Megillah, you read it on 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. How much is 11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15?
65.
65. Ah, that's what he says. Megillah nekret beYudalef Yudbet Yudgimal Yudalef Tetvav. It's written, it's read in the Kavanah of the Adanut. But the goal is to reveal the Yudke Vavke. How? Lo pachot velo yoter. What's less than 11? 10. And what's more than 15? 16. That's 26. That's the Yudke Vavke. Lo pachot velo yoter. So therefore, the Mishnah, according to him, is actually giving you the sword of Adanut, which is the Megillah Nekret Adanut. That's what it is. It's no nothing miracle, but lo pachot velo yoter. You have to bring out the Yudke Vavke, and that's why, for example, which you know already, that at certain points in the Megillah there'll be a remez to the Shem, like when when Melech, anytime it says Melech, Ham Melech, but even better when it says, for example, Yavo Hamelech v'Amanayom, Yavo Hamelech v'Amanayom Yudke Vavke. So there's many demazim like that in the Megillah itself that hint to us this, that the Havayah, but the Havayah is behind the scenes, it's not open. Okay, now, once we get to this point, we have to go one more point over here. And that is something that you probably heard, but it's kedai just to review it. In the Megillat Esther, of course, we have the 10 sons of Haman. They were hung clearly on a on an etz, on a tree. I will say it like this. After the Megillah was over, it says, Kiyimu v'kibinu. Kiyimu v'kibinu al-Yehudim. They reaffirmed and they accepted the Torah. And everybody said, what do you mean they accepted the Torah? I thought they accepted the Torah at Har-Sinai. So no, they accepted it me'ahava. What do you mean? I thought we accepted Har-Sinai me'ahava when we said, Na'aseh v'nishma. So the Gemara says, that was Torah Shebichtav. However, Torah Sheba'al Peh, we accepted on Purim. So Purim is the holiday of Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's what they say, yes? Why? Because Mordechai is the Tzaddikim and Hachamim, and we affirmed our belief in the rabbis and the interpretations, and so on and so forth. Okay, fine. So based on this, the Mefarshim say, why did Haman pick for the destruction of the Jewish people, the 13th of Adar? Why did he pick Yud Gimel Adar? What was so significant about this? So, the Mefarshim say, this I saw from one of the old Ketvei Yad, the Megillat Esther, by an old Sephardi rabbi. The Sefer, it'll come to me, the Sefer, just been born now from an old rabbi, Venetia. He says, that when it comes to Mishnayot, we have six orders of the Mishnah. Shisha Sedre Mishnah. And of course we have Hamisha, Chumshe Torah. That's Hamisha, Chumshe Torah. Now the Hamishah Hamshita we accepted already at Har Sinai. Purim is not about the Heh. Purim is about the Vav, accepting the Torah Sheba'al Peh to reaffirm and accept it Me'ahava. But as long as there's a Pirut, as long as there's a separation between the Heh and the Vav, so then already we cannot make a geula. We have to put the head in the Vav, which is the Vav explains the head. The Shishas to the Mishnah is the commentary to the Hamisha Amshe Torah. But if you separate, you just have the Hamisha Amshe without the Shishas to the Mishnah, so we're in trouble. Haman knew that Am Yisrael was deficient in not the head, but the Vav. So says the Tzaddikim, how do you spell Vav, boys? Depends. Exactly. What's one of the ways to spell the Vav? Vav Aleph Vav. Vav Aleph Vav is how much?
13.
So therefore, the 13th of Adar that's chosen represents whether he knew this Kavanah or not. But this is God's way of saying that this is where your deficiency was. Now, furthermore, the Torah Sheba'al Peh is studied through certain rules. What are those rules called? The rules of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Bishlosh Esre Midot HaTorah Nedreshet. Which Torah? Torah Shema'al Peh. Nikal Vahomer, Gezra Shava, Binyan Av, Klal Uprat, Prat Uklal, Klal Prat Klal, all that. That's the 13. And therefore again, it's on the 13 because we're in contempt of the 13 Midot HaTorah Nedreshet. Now, of course, once we reaffirmed and accepted upon ourselves Torah Sheba'al Peh, so then already we made the tikkun of the Vav, and that's why when they hang Haman on the tree, if you look at the Gemara says the tree is like the letter Vav. That's why the Vav of Vaizata is big. That's why most every Pasuk in Megillat Esther starts with a Vav. That's why the Yud Gimal turns into a day where we're able to beat our enemies, which is the reverse. The day this was the becomes the biggest day. Why am I telling you this? Because clearly over here we see that on Purim, besides all the reveling that we do and the party and all that other stuff that everybody likes to do and get involved in, we're forgetting. After Shavuot, the greatest holiday on the calendar is Purim, the Gabet Torah. Shavuot is Matan Torah, Torah Shebichtav. Purim is Torah Sheba'al Peh. So in your drunken state on Thursday, at some point, there has to be a recommitment to the Vav. There has to be a recommitment to the... Now you must have heard what the Zohar HaKadosh says, Yisrael ve'oraita Kuchaberichu Hagu. You ever hear that? You have Israel over here, and you have Kuchaberichu over here. How does Israel connect to Kuchaberichu? Oraita. This is the conduit that you get to God. There's no other way to get to God. You can do all the yoga, do all the art, do all the meditation, do all the hallucinating drugs. You're not going to get to God. The way Israel gets to Kuchaberichu is through how? Oraita. You ever hear of the letter called Vav HaChibur? In grammar, the Vav is a letter that connects, correct? Ani olech lemakolet, ve'ani koneh tapuhim ve'tapuzim. Vav is Vav HaChibur. Instead of the Vav, it's like and. It's Vav HaChibur. Let me teach you how the Mekubalim learned Vav HaChibur. Voice, and I could do this. You learned a lot tonight, by the way. Voice. Spell Vav. How do you spell Vav? That's one way. Spell it another way. Vav? Vav Yud Vav. Spell it one more way. Vav Vav. Beautiful. This is the Vavs. Vav Aleph Vav is how much?
13.
13. Well, 13 is what? 13 is Gematria Echad. That's referring to God. So this is Kuchabarich. Vav Yud Vav is how much voice?
22.
Those are the letters of the Torah. So this is Oraita. And Vav Vav is how much?
12.
That's the Shemati. That's Faisal. That's Israel. So therefore, the Vav HaChibur, the Vav that connects, the Vav of Kuchaberichu, the Vav of Oraita, and the Vav of Yisrael, Vav HaChibur, the Vav connects us. And therefore, Purim is the day that at the time of the Simcha, it brings us to the connection. How does it bring us to connection? Only through the Vav, which is the Sishas of the Mishnah, which is, of course, the acceptance of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Are we clear on this, boys? Okay, we'll stop over here.